come on in. We're going to get ready to get started in just a couple of minutes. Amen. And in the meantime, we're just going to meditate on the Lord and give him glory for all of the things that he has done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a place where we complain a lot. We complain about all the things that have not gone right. We complain about things that are out of place. We complain about things that have not happened yet. But I find myself in a place where if I just give God glory for all that he's already done, if you just give him glory for the things that he's getting ready to do, rather than complaining, if you would just begin to lift up your hands, open up your eyes and see the magnificent things that God is doing and the things that he is getting ready to do, you will stop complaining. If you just begin to give him glory, because God is faithful, church. He is faithful that promised, and because he is faithful, we can trust him. We can lean and depend upon him, knowing that everything that he has told us is absolutely true. Even if you look around and it seems like all hell is breaking loose around you, if you would just change your focus and give God glory, not only would you begin to feel better, but the other thing that would happen is you'll begin to see things differently. Change your focus. Give God worship. Give God glory when all hell is breaking loose. When you're not feeling well, give God glory. You already know he's a healer. So give him glory in advance, before it's even manifested in the natural. Let's just begin to give God glory. Let's begin to thank him. Let's begin to worship and praise him for the things he's already done and for the things he is getting ready to do. He's our wonderful counselor. He's our healer. He is our deliverer. He's our strong tower. And he's got us covered in his blood. So nothing and nobody can come in to hurt or harm us. We have to learn how to thank God even for the things that we didn't see coming, because obviously he allowed it, like COVID. He allowed it to happen. It's all a part of his plan. And no matter what you're going through today, it's all going to work out for our good. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Now, you know, God has a purpose and a plan just for you. So because you were called according to his purpose, everything that you're dealing with right now, at this very moment, is working together for your good. No matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like, it's all working together for your good. Go ahead and lift your hands. Close your eyes and concentrate on this mighty God that we serve. Go ahead and close your eyes and concentrate on this faithful, healing, delivering God that we serve. If you would just begin to tell God thank you, if you would just begin to give him worship, if you would just begin to give him glory, you'll see things change. You'll see the manifestation. You'll see the things that are already done in the heavenly realm begin to manifest for you in the earth realm. It's already done according to the word of God. But we have to know it and trust it. We're going to get ready to get started. Thank God for each of you who have joined. Thank God for those who are going to follow up from the recording or from the podcast. Let's say a word of prayer and move right into the message for tonight. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God. We honor you, God. We praise you in advance for a fresh touch, for revitalization, for a refreshing, for a renewing, God, for a revival in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for everyone that is connected to this ministry. And we pray now, God, that you would enlighten, encourage, and inspire them according to your word on tonight. God, we're leaning and we are depending upon you. We can't do anything without you, God, and we won't make a move without you. So now, God, thank you in advance for opening up the eyes of your people. Thank you in advance, God, that your word will fall on good ground. Thank you, God, that your word will come forth with clarity and with understanding. Thank you, God, that your people will receive your word and that it'll be a word that they can run with and live by. We give you glory now, God, that as your word comes forth, that for those who are babes in Christ, as the word comes forth, they won't drown. But for those who are mature in Christ, it'll be deep enough for them to swim in. We thank you now, God, for everything that you're getting ready to do. Not just in this service, God, but in our lives, in our homes, on our jobs, God, on our businesses, in our finances, God. We thank you, God, for everything that you are getting ready to do in us and through us. God, as we've come to a close on our corporate fast, thank you, God, for those who were obedient. And I pray now, God, that you bless us accordingly. Thank you, God, for a move. Thank you, God, for opportunity. Thank you, God, for the doors that you're opening because of our obedience. Thank you, God, for making a way for us. Thank you, God, for elevation. Thank you, God, for deliverance. God, as we've lifted up our country, our state, our city, our leaders, lay leaders as well as governmental leaders, we pray now, God, that you would give more wisdom and knowledge as you see fit. Lord, lead them and guide them in the name of Jesus on our behalves. Thank you, God. We count it done now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We just give God thanks on this evening for each of you who are watching with us live. We'll ask that you go ahead and like and share the message, start a watch party, but be sure to share the word of God as we are beginning a new series on tonight, and this is our growth series. We're going to come from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse. That's 2 Peter 3 and 18. Amen. That will be our foundational scripture, but we're talking about growth. So tonight will be more of an introduction into the things that we're getting ready to delve into. Amen. But it is important, people of God, that as a Christian, we don't remain stagnant. It's important that whatever your calling is, whatever your purpose is, whatever God has put you here to do, that you don't remain stagnant. That's 2 Peter 3 and 18, Deacon Jackson. It's important that we grow. So we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about what it looks like. We're going to talk about what's required and what happens and how we know that growth has taken place. Amen. So 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. The Bible lets us know, amen, in verse number 18, that we are to grow in grace. And the way that we do that is through knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We always say that we want to grow spiritually, but what I'm finding that for many is that it's just words. You've got to be stretched and often uncomfortable in order to grow. When the disciples met Jesus, they learned and grew from what they had been doing religiously or traditionally to where God needed them to be in order to carry out God's plan for their lives and his larger mission for the world. In order to become disciples, they had to come away from what they were doing, from what they thought they knew, and they had to leave everything behind and follow Christ. They had to stop everything, come away from their finite way of thinking and doing things, and obey God by following their leader. Let's be clear. In many ways, Jesus was different from everybody else that they had encountered because he was the Word of God living and breathing in the earth. Other religious leaders of their time were all about the law. But Jesus delivered the same information from the book of the law, but with their understanding clarified, enlightened, opened. And the laws that they knew or understood became simplified. He wasn't trying to make it complicated. He made it easy for them to understand. Jesus taught them that they could fulfill the law and the previous commandments by encompassing them in two. The first is to love God. The second is to love your neighbor. That's as simple as it gets. But he also taught them that while they were here, they had to be taught. They had to first be disciples so that they were then prepared to disciple other people in the near future. That was going to require faith. You can't be a disciple if you're in one minute and you're out the next. You can't be a disciple being wishy-washy. You can't be a disciple speaking in tongues one minute and cursing folks out the next minute. You can't be a disciple and only obey the parts of the Bible that you like when you feel like being bothered. This level of growth required spiritual maturity. It's okay to come as you are, but you cannot stay there, and you can't use as an excuse that you didn't know. Because you have the opportunity to know. You have to allow God to elevate you to where he would have you to be. And it's something that we say often at Charity Full Gospel, because a lot of times people don't realize that when folks come into the church, you meet them where they are, but then you help them to grow and go on from beyond that point. So now let's define exactly what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us more like him, conforming us unto his image. Spiritual growth is perhaps best described in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3-8, which tells us that by God's power, we have everything we need to live lives of godliness, which is the goal of spiritual growth. Notice that what we need comes through our knowledge of him, which is the key to obtaining everything that we need. Our knowledge of him comes from the word given to us for our edification and growth. So if you're not getting the word on a regular basis, you can rest assured that's why you're stagnant and that's why you are not growing the way that you should be. There are two lists found in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 19 through 23. In verses 19 through 21, there's a list of acts or works of the flesh. These are the things that identified our lives before we became Christians, before we came to Christ for salvation. The acts of the flesh are the activities that we need to confess, repent of, and with God's help, overcome. And we experience spiritual growth. And as we do, those acts of the flesh become fewer and fewer. And that will be evident in our lives. The second list is the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in verses 22 and 23. These are what should characterize our lives now that we have experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth is identified by the fruit of the Spirit becoming increasingly evident in a believer's life. So, when the transformation of salvation takes place, spiritual growth begins. The Holy Spirit indwells in us, according to John 14, verses 16 and 17. We are new creatures in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. So therefore, the old sinful nature begins to give way to the new Christ-like nature that we now have, according to Romans 6 through 7. But if that's the case, you don't just stop there. The beginning of salvation, being filled with the Spirit of God, becoming a new creature is just the beginning. You don't stop there. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process that depends on our study and our application of the Word of God, according to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, and our walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, because when you walk in the Spirit, you won't continue to keep fulfilling the lust or the acts of your flesh. So as we seek spiritual growth, we should pray to God and ask for wisdom concerning the areas that He desires for us to grow in. We can ask God to increase our faith and our knowledge of Him, because God desires for us to grow spiritually, and He has given us all that we need to experience spiritual growth. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can overcome sin and steadily become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't be like Him if you're not listening to Him or following Him. That's why it was a requirement for the disciples. He didn't keep them right there in their same neighborhood around the same folks that He knew doing the same thing that they had been doing. He had to move them away from what they were accustomed to show them something different. Now you have to imagine that anytime you're relocating or you're moving about or you're not at home or you're not around your family, it's going to be an uncomfortable place. But whenever God has moved you from one place to the next, from one job to the next, or you've gone through any sort of a transition, it behooves you to learn what it is that you need to learn, because that's God causing you to grow. And when we decide that we want to give up and go back to the place where we're comfortable, then what we're in essence saying to God is, I don't want to grow. I don't want you to elevate me. I don't want you to teach me anything new. I don't want to get this new knowledge. I want to stay just like I am, comfortable. And you will. You'll stay comfortable and you'll keep missing out on these things that God has prepared for you. There is all kinds of things that God has prepared and set aside just for each of us. He has things set aside corporately for Charity Full Gospel Baptist Church. He has things set aside individually for us to take us to where we need to go.
So if you lost a job and God put you on another one, it was because he was elevating you and moving you into the realm of something new. He was moving you into the place where you could learn something, do something different, gain more access, gain more opportunities. If God moved you from city to city or house to house or state to state, it was God elevating you so that you could stop your norm and get to the next place and learn what you need to learn, grow, elevate, spend more time with him, whatever the case. When God takes away so-called friends or those frenemies or whoever the people are that you've gotten comfortable around and they begin to move away from your life and they ain't fooling with you no more, instead of us sitting around feeling lonely, we should spend that time with God. Because in essence, it's God saying, I need more time with you. You were spending too much time on the phone with them. You're spending too much time talking to them. You're spending too much time thinking about them. I want you to grow, and I had to move them out of the way in order for you to get where I need you to be. So we have to stop resisting and be who it is God called us to be. We've got to stop resisting and grow like God is calling us to grow. We've got to stop resisting and get to where we are supposed to be in God, just like he did with the disciples. It might not be comfortable. You might not like everything I say. You might not like everything I do. But I can guarantee you that if I'm your leader, you're going to grow, whether you want to or not. You either going to grow or you going to go. And not because I say leave, but because you're going to decide, I ain't ready. I don't want to go no further. Lord, just let me stay here stagnant. And you know when waters are stagnant, they stink and they draw mosquitoes and all kind of bugs. And they're filled with all kind of germs and diseases. People of God, you don't want to be stagnant. You want to grow and go with God. But if you choose not to, if you choose not to grow, that's on you. But it won't be because you couldn't get a word at Charity Full Gospel Baptist Church. It won't be because Pastor Jackson held you up and you were missing something because I didn't tell you. I came to tell you tonight, as we are beginning our growth series, God has a plan for your life, but it is important for you to listen and follow God in this season. This is not the time to fall off, fall away, or fall out. This is the time to hear what thus saith the Lord and move as the Spirit gives utterance. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's time to move. We've been sitting still long enough. It is time for you to get your mind right and get on the right path. Get your trajectory together because God has a plan. He has a place where he wants you to be, but you can't get there if you decide to stay home and stay where you're comfortable. If you decide to hang out with them same old friends, if you decide to lay around, be depressed, feel lonely, and not obey and follow God. The disciples could have stayed home, but they knew that because there was something different about Jesus, they knew because he was taking them somewhere different. He looked different and acted different from all the other preachers and folks in the church. He wasn't like them. Guess what? God don't call preachers to be alike. And if you see any two preachers that are just alike, somebody's being phony and somebody's trying to be like somebody else. God didn't send me for that. But if he sent you a pastor and you are assigned to me, to this ministry, you gonna grow, baby. You gonna grow whether you want to or not. And if you don't want to, you know what to do. Now, the hope and the desire is that you go on with us because God's got a plan for us. But we've got to listen and we've got to obey. You can't do this thing by yourself. If the disciples could have done it alone, they would have already. But when Jesus hit the scene and he wanted to take them somewhere different, they had to take up their cross and follow him. They already thought that they knew how to fish, but he was teaching them how to be fishers of men. They already thought they knew what they were doing. But Jesus had a better plan. Jesus had another way. So if you're ready to stretch yourself, keep listening. I want to ask you this on this 27th day of January in 2021. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to. There is a difference in listening and hearing. The disciples understood that in order to grow, they had to listen to their leader. They had to listen to Jesus. Merriam-Webster defines hearing as the process or the function or power of perceiving sound. It's just what you're physically able to do if your auditory systems work properly. Specifically, the special sense by which noises and tones are received as stimuli. Listening, on the other hand, means to pay attention to the sound, to hear something with thoughtful intention or thoughtful attention, and to give it consideration. If you're still listening to or giving consideration to voices from your past, to negative messages from people who hurt you, to other people who either are not saved or don't have an understanding of the word, if you're listening to other people who are on your level, the level where you are right now, if you're listening to your medical diagnosis, if you're listening to your psychological diagnosis, if you're listening to your finances and your checkbook and what your bank account is saying to you right now, if you're listening to your low self-worth and your low self-esteem, if you're listening to your negative self-image or fear, then I'll tell you right now, unless you put on the mind of Christ according to faith, this series is going to be hard for you. It's going to be tough for you because you're listening to the wrong voices. We listen to a variety of things daily. But if you're honest and we break it down in 24-hour daily intervals, how much are you really listening to the word of God or things or people that inspire faith and holiness? How much are you really listening? So now 24 hours in a day, right? Now Deacon Jackson is going to be paying attention to my math, so stay with me. In 24 hours, the average person might spend 8 hours sleeping. I ain't one of those people, but the average person might spend 8 hours sleeping. And then you'll also spend 8 to 10 hours working, depending on your job or your position. Most hourly employees work 8 hours. Most salary employees, they make you work at least 10 to 12, just depends on your job. But we're going to say 8 to 10 hours working. The average person spends 1 hour driving to and from work. The average person spends 1 to 3 hours cooking and or eating in a day. Then you spend 3 to 4 hours watching TV or relaxing. And for some folks, they may spend 3 or 4 hours on the phone. If you're following me mathematically, you already know that we ran out of hours a long time ago. And we have not made God a priority in our daily walk. So if you're looking at a 24-hour day and you spend 8 hours sleeping, 8 to 10 hours working, 1 hour driving to and from work, 1 to 3 hours cooking or eating, 3 to 4 hours watching TV, relaxing, or talking on the phone, you have not made God a priority in your day. Now, don't you leave here and say, Pastor Jackson said I shouldn't go to work because I need to be spending more time with God. The devil is a liar. But the average person spends less than 1 hour per day in prayer, in meditation, or in studying the word, if they spend time with God every day, period. Because the truth is that most people don't spend time with God every day. That's just the truth. When we're honest with ourselves, We pick up our cell phones far more than we pick up our Bibles every single day. So it's no wonder that some folks are starving to death spiritually, and you keep on with this same roller coaster over and over and over in your mind because you're starving to death. How is that, Pastor Jackson? Well, you are what you eat. And if you're eating what's going on at work, if you're eating what's happening on TV, if you're eating what's happening on social media and in your neighborhood, you haven't fed yourself anything spiritually so you can grow. So what's growing in you is all that other stuff. That's why so many people are full of junk. Because you fed yourself everything else in a day. But Jesus, he said he was the bread of life. He said if we drink of his water, we would never thirst again. But we don't do that. We say we want to grow, but we don't spend time with God. We spend time doing everything else. And for many people, if you have a moment at the end of the day, then you might grace God with your presence. The devil is a liar. He's done far too much for me to put him on the back burner. He's done too much for me to put him after everything else, after I get done, if I got time for God. Because in essence, that's what we're saying when we don't spend time for him. We're saying we don't have time for him, but we want him to have time. Oh, Lord, stop by my house when stuff is going wrong. Oh, Lord, heal my body when stuff is going wrong in your body. Then you want to talk to him. You want to sing a whole song. That's not what God requires of us, people of God. We have to be honest with ourselves. And we've got to get back to basics. I said this when COVID first kicked in, and I'm saying it again now. We have got to get back to basics, and spiritual growth is basic. But we've been so distracted by everything and everybody else that we're not doing the basics, but we still have an expectation of God. We fast if we feel like it. We pray if we feel like it. We read if we feel like it. We meditate on his word if we feel like it. And a lot of folks have the nerve to start and then fall asleep. God isn't important enough for you to stay awake for just a little while. It's time, people of God, to move on to the next level. And we need to do like the disciples. Leave your past behind. Listen. Obey God, follow Christ, and run on and see what the end is going to be. The Lord said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. One of the most important things that the disciples had to do was to trust God enough to listen and to follow. The word says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. When you know the voice of God, you're not going to get tricked up and mixed up into listening to everything but him. When you know the voice of God, you're not going to follow a stranger or be fooled by tricks of the enemy. He's very strategic about how he does things. And it's really interesting that when you listen to the voice of God, You're going to go in the right direction every time. When you don't, little funny things begin to happen. Like you magically miss church. You suddenly begin to look for flaws in your leader and other Christians. You start running your mouth, speaking against your leader, your church, and fellowship as a whole. I mean, I don't really need all that. So-and-so over there got more problems than me. She need to be in church more than me. He need to be in church more than me. He got more issues than me. We're looking at everybody else. Did you think that that was taking the attention off of you? It doesn't. When we find ourselves listening to the wrong voices, we find everything wrong with everybody else. Then you start having problems left and right. Because you've gotten into your flesh and you've been thinking like and acting like the world. And you've been doing things your way. Come out from among those worldly folks right now in the name of Jesus. Come out from among those worldly acting, worldly thinking, worldly talking folks right now in the name of Jesus. I came to remind you today of who you are and exactly what is required of you. You are the child of the Most High God, and you are required, especially in this season, to know the voice of God. This season is unlike any other season that you've ever encountered in your life. God is removing entertainment and unnecessary things from the body of Christ, and compromise is unacceptable. In this season, you are being stretched in order for you to grow. The purpose of the fast was not to impress anybody, but the purpose of the fast was so that we could hear, see, and grow spiritually. It wasn't because Pastor Jackson was bored. But when we do a corporate fast and we place our focus in the same area, and the prayer focuses were found at the end of the instructions for the fast, in case you didn't read them. But when we do, and we're praying and fasting corporately, and believing God corporately, it's so that we can grow and be able to obtain and ascertain all of the things that God has planned for us. See, because when you're not eating on purpose, in purpose, you hear God more clearly. And as you are hearing him, he's getting that trajectory in order for you. He's aligning you. He's putting you in front of open doors. He's shutting doors that were trying to hinder you. He's presenting you with that way that you keep asking for. Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. But see, if you didn't fast and you can't hear him for yourself, you missed it. Because during the fast, he was telling you where your way was. He was showing you the answers. He was telling you what to do. He was making opportunity for you. He was presenting things to you every day that you made a sacrifice. And all you had to do was know his voice, listen to his voice, and follow his voice. That's what it's all about. It's not because I chose to torture anybody, but just like you, I'm trying to hear what God is saying, not just for me, but for you all as a congregation, not just Charity Full Gospel, but Campbell Ministries as a whole and the things that God is saying for the ministry to do. Now that we've come down to the end, I've heard him more clearly. each of the 21 days. I stayed before him each of the 21 days so I would know what God requires of me. See, I have to do the same things that you do, but he holds me accountable for watching for your soul on top of me trying to make sure I'm straight. That's what a pastor is. That's what a shepherd is. That's what a leader does. But I don't mind, because in that, God blesses me. As I obey, he blesses me. Glory to God. Please understand, you're not going to get this in your natural mind. You're not going to understand it, comprehend it. It's not going to make sense in your finite, natural mind. But there are a lot of things that God is removing from the body that we never should have put there in the first place. There never should have been entertainers in the body of Christ. Everything that we do is supposed to be as unto the Lord. But guess what? This season, this growing, stretching, uncomfortable season is what you get when you ask God to take you to new levels. But you've got to do the work. You've got to do what it takes to get there. You've got to do your part. And you are required to put on the mind of Christ. You will not be able to receive or comprehend where God is taking you in your natural mind. You're not going to be able to get it. It's not going to make sense to you. It just won't make sense. But it's time. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to grow. It's time for us to elevate. It's time for us to come out and move up to where it is that God would have us to be. Thank you, God. Understand that growth has steps and stages. It is a process. God doesn't expect you to wake up tomorrow and just be there. So there are things in place in order for us to grow. I'm going to give you 5 stages of spiritual growth. And you need to understand that every one of us is at one of these 5 stages. Knowing the stages will help you to grow personally and to develop in maturity. And it will help the church's plan for discipleship. So we need to know what the stages are, because it helps us to understand the church's plan for discipleship or bringing other people in. Amen. The first one, stage one, is the seeker. In stage one, a person is spiritually dead, meaning that he or she has not been born again. This stage is characterized by the word unbelief. God's word says that each person starts out in life dead in their trespasses and in their sins, according to Ephesians 2:1. This means that we're separated from God and will experience an eternal death away from God unless we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's what it means when we say that we get saved. We're saved from eternal death. God has spared us from an eternal death. A spiritually dead person needs a healthy relationship with a maturing believer. A picture of the real Jesus lived out in front of them, an explanation of the gospel message, and an invitation to receive Christ. Even though this person is not a believer, they still are seeking answers to life's greatest questions. Why am I here? What happens after death? Is there really a God? Why does he let bad things happen to good people? These are some of the things that people are asking or wondering about or seeking the answers to. That's stage one, the seeker. The second stage is the believer. After a seeker receives Christ and is born again, he or she immediately enters stage two. It's a spiritual infancy, if you will. God's word calls them infants in 1 Peter 2:2 and babies in 1 Corinthians 3:1. Spiritual infants know something has changed and are usually excited about telling others about it. However, in many ways, they tend to make a mess of a lot of things. They're characterized by the word ignorance. They have many things. They know a whole lot of things, but they're ignorant to how to live out this new life as a follower of Christ. Some of the things a spiritual infant needs are individual attention from a mature believer or a spiritual parent. An explanation of the basic truths found in the Word of God. That's why you got to be in church. And both an explanation and modeling of habits or behaviors of a growing believer. That's why when you get saved, you cannot stop coming to church, because you need to see this thing lived out, but you also need to hear the Word so that you're given instructions on what to do and how to handle specific situations. Amen. Step three, or stage three, is the learner. As they grow, the believer, the spiritual infants, move into stage three, the spiritual child. Throughout the Bible, we see comments that refer to this childlike spiritual stage. It's found in 1 John 2 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. This stage is described as one where they can be excited about their faith, and in many ways, they're innocent. However, they still act childishly and are often rebellious and self-centered in many ways. Spiritual children tend to do what they should only when they're rewarded or only when they're threatened with some kind of punishment. They may do the right thing, but it's usually to avoid an outcome they dislike or to get something that they want. They do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. Some of the needs of a spiritual child in order to help them to grow are both instruction and modeling as to how to feed themselves, who they are in Christ, how to have fellowship with Christ and other believers, and about appropriate expectations concerning other believers. Amen. Stage four, as we're getting ready to wrap up, is the server. As a learner, or spiritual children grow up, they mature into the spiritual young adult stage. That spiritual young adult stage is called the server, found in 1 John 2 and 13. At this stage, the believer has a decent grasp of God's word and is action or service oriented. They're excited, they're zealous, they're God-centered, and stop focusing so much on themselves. They're mission-minded, but they don't often think in terms of reproducing other disciples. They have a great desire to serve. They want to help. They want to bless, and they want to make their life count. They want to make an impact. They want to be used. Some of the needs a spiritual young adult requires in order to move to the next stage are a place to learn to serve, a spiritual parent who will teach them about ministry experiences, ongoing relationships that offer encouragement and accountability, guidance regarding appropriate expectations of people that they will serve, and help in identifying their gifts and skills for the ministry or for the body of Christ. Stage five is the leader. In this final stage of spiritual development, we become spiritually mature enough to reproduce disciples. We become spiritual parents. The leader is found in 1 Corinthians 4 and 15 and 17, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 11, and 1 John 2 verses 13 and 14. The difference between a spiritual young adult and a spiritual parent is the spiritual parent thinks about how to help others grow through the stages in order for the other believers to reach spiritual parenthood, while the young adult simply thinks of blessing others without any consideration of helping others grow through the stages. As a spiritual parent, you want to lead someone to Christ or help new believers develop in their maturity. You are intentional. You are strategic about the process. Some of the needs of a spiritual parent are ongoing relationships with co-laborers, a church family, and encouragement. How will you know when you've grown? I'm glad you asked. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life consistently, and you stop operating in the works of the flesh. You stop being a taker, and you become a giver. You stop the drama. You're involved in drama everywhere, in the family and on your job, in your neighborhood, all on the phone in drama. You even bring drama to the church if somebody lets you do it. You know who you are and you know who you are not as you begin to mature. You are productive. The character trait of love exudes in everything you say and do. Not hate, not judgment, not criticizing everybody else, but you are genuinely productive. You'll shut up and pray. Some folks just plain talk too much. When you begin to mature spiritually, you stop talking so much and complaining and talking about everything that's wrong. Stop rehearsing everything that's gone wrong in your life and you'll just shut up and pray. You trust God and you put Him first in all things when you begin to mature spiritually. You stop resisting and walk things out in faith when you begin to spiritually mature. You will leave the past behind when you spiritually mature. And you will draw others to Christ when you begin to spiritually mature. Don't be like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. It had the ability to be productive. It was looking like it was productive. But upon closer examination, when Jesus got close to it and began to reach in for fruit to be there, it had plenty of leaves, but there was no fruit. If you're tired of the insanity, if you're tired of doing the same things and getting the same results, if you're tired of the same old, if you're ready to make a commitment to your spiritual growth, live according to the word, and spend more time with God, pray according to faith, experience true Christian fellowship and right relationships, lead the lost to Christ, and live in abundance and overflow, if that's you, buckle your seatbelts. It's time to grow. Let's make a confession today. Please repeat after me. Lord, I confess and I understand that in order to grow, we need to eat. Therefore, I will study the Bible. In order to grow, we need to breathe. Therefore, I am committed to daily prayer. In order to grow, we need good spiritual hygiene. Thank you for the opportunity of confession of my sin and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In order to grow, we need a caring family. Lord, I will not forsake fellowship. In order to grow, we need regular exercise. Lord, today I will render consistent service to the kingdom of God. In order to grow, we need protection. Therefore, Lord, I will not yield my spirit, my soul, or my body to temptation. The last part of your confession is this. In order to grow, we need to give. I am committed to stewardship. In Jesus' name, I decree and I declare that it is so by faith. Buckle your seatbelts. This was just the introduction to our growth series. Get ready. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for your life. I want to encourage you. Be ye also ready. Before we get ready to go, if you have not... Thank you so much for joining.
The Charityful Gospel Baptist Church is a word-centered and Christ-focused ministry. We simply ask that when you come as you are, and then allow God to elevate you to where He would have you to be. We are located at 1775 Booker Street in Jackson, Mississippi. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, you may do so via Cash App at $CharityFGBC, or you may utilize PayPal at Campbell Ministries. Charityful Gospel Baptist Church is a great place to serve. So if you would like to join, please text the word join to 601-460-4490. If you are not saved and you would like to make Christ the head of your life, if you have other questions regarding salvation, you may also text. Text the word save to 601-460-4490. We thank you so much for listening, and until next time, be blessed.